Yo, what's up? It's your boy L.A., a.k.a. the Love Ambassador, coming to you straight live and direct on this somewhat overcast Sunday morning in Melbourne town. Now, it would be the same talking about myself. That would probably be the leading to some sort of mental health deficiency. To avoid that, I'm joined by the one, the only, the magnificent, Mr. Billy. What's happening?
Hola. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday, bro. How have you been, man? Good weekend so far.
Yesterday was raining all day. Today's sunny. We're gonna go pick up our cat from when we dropped it off for the Japan holiday we took. And
Oh
then
yeah. Yeah,
that's
how
what
was Japan? You're kind of on the fence a little bit with it. How did you find a trip there?
I think my problem was that the last time I went, which was back in 2018, was one way, which is the way I prefer when I go to places, which is you go there, there's some tourists, not too many, but generally you're kind of around locals, right? And this was even in the big cities. Like, sure, there were certain parts of the city, especially in Tokyo, where there were some tourists, like a lot. But this time, oh my God, dude. We were only in Tokyo this time, to be fair, but I heard it's the same in Osaka, Kyoto, but it's just so many tourists, man. So many. A lot of Americans, of which I was one, a lot of Germans, a
A
lot
lot
of
of Aussies as
Chinese.
well.
There may have been, but I didn't really hear the accent coming up too often. I generally was hearing people speaking either Spanish, German, English, but American English, and the best kind of English there is. And
Turn it up
wait,
a notch.
what was the other one? Chinese. So in Tokyo, it was just packed. It was absolutely packed with tourists, like to the point where it didn't. It felt as if I was in a cleaner, safer New York. It didn't feel like I was in Tokyo at all.
Yeah,
Seeing
I think
the
that kind of sucks though, because it's like I'm the same to you. Like I actually want to go and be amongst the people and locals. And okay, I do like the one or two, like Notre Dame and Paris or whatever it is, but I'd rather be the side streets in a cafe or having a beer with the locals sort of thing and getting involved. But I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense at the moment because it's like everyone I talk to is going to Japan for the skiing. I don't know if the skiing season's still going, but at least the last couple of months, like people have just been going in absolute like masses to Japan.
it's usually
And for
popular for the
us,
ski and but it's the money now.
yeah. Well, apparently they're supposed to have really good skiing up there as
Yeah.
well. So, and it's easy for us. I think we've got like, the flights aren't too expensive to get to Tokyo, and it used to be kind of like the equivalent, I guess, of China now. So like now kids at school learn Mandarin and Chinese culture and everything like that because it's like their main trading partner. But when I went to school, it was Japanese we were learning and Japanese culture and everything like that, which was a bit contentious at the time because our grandparents were still alive and they fought the Japanese, who were a completely different type of people back then that they are now. So yeah, I've been to Tokyo before. I really loved it actually. I really loved sort of the food and drink and just feeling of safety and so like high tech and everything as well. It's kind of similar, I guess, sometimes when I come to Singapore as well. I feel like a bit of a country bumpkin coming
No,
from
no.
Australia because we just don't have that type of tech and savviness and we're first world, but it's not that like, new age cities, so to speak.
No,
Yeah.
Singapore is empty in comparison. I mean, Singapore
Yeah.
feels not crowded at all compared to Japan. But the reason I think there's even more tourists now than usual is the exchange rate.
The yen's
Yeah,
dropped
it's so
heaps, so it's
bad.
super
So
cheap.
it's so easy to go there and spend, a lot without spending a lot, kind of, if that makes sense. So I think you're just getting, I mean, even Spain, dude. I never see Spanish tourists. From
Are
Spain.
they Spanish though, or are they from like, you know,
Spanish,
Latin
Spain.
American stuff?
No. I looked at their passport because the one pulled it out. I was curious. It's like Spain.
Ah,
And I
because
was
it's a
like,
really
wow.
weird thing. There's all these like Japanese Peruvians and Brazilians and stuff like that.
No, it wasn't that. It was Europe, Spain. So I thought, what the fuck? Not that I have anything against Europe, Spain. I just never really see them as tourists, to be honest. So it was like
True,
a,
actually.
I
Now that I
don't.
think about it, I very rarely see Spaniards travel.
Yeah,
You never really
exactly.
bump into Spanish people. It's actually a good point.
Threw me off. I was like,
Yeah,
he's
oh, it actually
Spanish,
throw me
but
off now I think about it. You
yeah.
very rarely see them when you're overseas.
Yeah. But it was
All right, so next topic, I'll keep it very quick because I know you're not like a rap hip hop person. But for those of people into hip hop music, Drake is currently battling with Kendrick Lamar. It's considered to be one of the best modern day rap battles that there's been. But some kind of wild accusations have come forth. So basically, Drake told Kendrick that his kid wasn't his and he abuses women. And then Kendrick, in turn, came back with Meet the Grahams and another one this morning that basically said, you've got more children than you're acknowledging, and you're surrounded by pedophiles, and you like minors, and you can only sleep with women that you pay, and it's getting quite fruity, mate. So we'll put that on the podcast so people that want to listen could follow it. But yeah, to those that are into hip hop, it's
Interesting. What caused
a
it?
real battle. But yeah, it's kind of in line with what we were talking about with that whole Hollywood thing. You
Oh,
know, like
yeah.
the whole what goes on behind the scenes. And this is what, like, Meet the Grahams that Kendrick Lamar did, I think, yesterday, the day before, is this kind of real kind of like expose sort of thing, which is in line with like what Cat Williams, the comedian's done, and what's sort of happening with Diddy at the moment as well. So I think it'll be interesting to see if it's just like a rap battle or if, you know, something else kind of comes out of it sort of thing. So I guess we wait and see. And I guess we were having a discussion offline about topics to discuss. I just don't think we can avoid this campus of America thing, and now in Australia we've got the same thing as well. So that seems to be, since the last we did our podcast, kind of the main theme that's been kind of run itself out. In a way, it's kind of good because it's had time to go through all the different motions. So, I mean, do you want to kick off your thoughts, and then I'll kick off my thoughts on it, or
Sure.
vice versa?
No, it's fine. I don't, I'll be honest, I don't have much thought on it, because to me, I think it's probably some paid antagonizers, and professional protesters who's rally a bunch of lost, simple-minded college students who have nothing better to do with their time, and they go protest something they have. I think there was a funny video going around on TikTok for an NYU campus protest, and this guy went up to this girl and asked, "Why are you protesting?" And the girl said, "For the Israel-Palestine thing." And he's like, "Okay, so what did NYU do?" She's like, "Oh, I don't know." Then she looked at her friend and she said, "Do you know what NYU did?" "No." "Oh, well, we just got a message to show up here because they're supporting them, so we're here." They don't really know. They don't know what's going on, and they just have nothing better to do with their time, man. Again, I think this all comes down to the fact that you have people who are paying this to happen, right? They want this to be organized. By whom? I don't know. You can put your tinfoil cap on, do whatever you want. Who you think is kind of rallying the students to do this? Is it actually some radical left groups, or is it an internal thing to build more support for a foreign war that we care less about? I don't
There's
know.
an also enormous amount of foreign money in, like, Qatar's given like hundreds of millions,
Yeah, it could
Iran,
it can't look
Egypt, and
I
you know, like
don't
the like UAE, UAE, like Qatar in particular, to American universities has given like a mind-blowing amount. I don't have the exact figures on me, but it's like hundreds of millions or something
Yeah,
crazy.
I mean, I guess the best way for me to put it is I think they're just ignorant, but I'm not saying that they should be supporting a different side. I'm saying that they shouldn't. We have to get our own house in order, which they don't want to do, because I think it goes against their own lifestyle, whereas in their personal life, how can you go around and tell people how to run the world and what to do when you are in debt, most likely have a stupid college degree, you're not even paying tax yet, you're not even a contributor to society, you're really a waste of space. And they don't want to come to terms with that, so they find these things to latch on to give themselves meaning. So, because I think that might be one of the reasons where you're sort of like, well, why do we care what's happening in country X? Like, our country sucks. But they seem to be so intent on focusing on country X. And I think, and I'm not a psychologist at all, but in some weird way, it's almost self-reflective of the fact that their own life sucks. And they find other things to kind of latch onto to sort of give themselves some moral high ground or meaning. So, I mean, sadly, I think colleges have just gotten out of hand. They're too big. They're too expensive. They need to be smashed down. And hopefully, kids realize that you don't need to go to college. You don't need to go to college for 90, maybe not 90%, maybe 80% of degrees. Like, if you go to college for history, you're an idiot. You don't need to go to college for history. There are plenty of books out there for you to read yourself, right? Form your own opinions. You don't need to go there to have some old fuck who probably wrote the textbook or gets a cut from the textbook, goes and tells you to buy this book and this book. You like business? You could maybe go there if you want to learn some accounting and things like that, but you honestly, you still don't even need to know that. You don't even need to go to college for that. You can learn all of these things independently. Almost everything in college that you learn either won't be used when you get an actual job, or you can teach yourself. I think there's very few majors where it's, probably a good idea to go to college first. And it's just, they've infected the younger generation, and it's just so poetic, I think. That you have a useless institution teaching people to be useless, and because they're useless, they focus on outside stimuli to give themselves meaning, which the college also pushes, right? Because they can't tell you, hey, you're going to come out of here making get a great job and pay your debt off in 3 years. They can't. So they get them to focus on other stupid shit and put their energy on that. They should all be attacking the colleges. How come you have all these endowment funds you don't have to pay tax on? How come you have billions of dollars sitting there, millions and, millions and millions, and you can't make tuition cheaper? You have all these college funds that are earning money, yet our tuition keeps going up. That's my thought. They're just ignorant. And college is a is an act and most colleges are in are ignorant. A place to breed ignorance. That's all. Sadly.
Yeah, it's so what's your view on in terms of the surveillance and people saying that they can survey the people? Even I was watching this thing on TV and the guy was saying that they've got like drones in 4K that which can even look at your eyes and then figure out who you are, and that you'll never really know why you're not getting that job or that bank loan, but because you're like a real rebel rouser, that your information will sort of be passed around. Do you think that that's true, or you think that's sort of scaremongering tactics?
I think it's true. I mean, they monitor us for way less serious things than to think that they're going to monitor you at a protest of, for whatever reason. I definitely think it's true. Yeah. What they want to do with that information, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming all the inf I mean, the government is always spying on us. At least in this case, they're doing it openly, right? It's not like the you go on private mode, but you're not really on private mode, and the freaking NSA and CIA have all your data. It's not like that, right? Here they're like,
But that's
yeah,
a
we
very
see.
interesting, it's a very interesting topic because that means that like we said before, there's definitely in all these marches, there's hired by
Yeah.
whomever it is, the professional protesters. And it's the same in Australia because it's like how the heck do you get mobilized so quickly? I mean, even down to the point of what, you just got Palestinian flags just lying around the house, just waiting. You know what I mean? Like, how does it happen that quickly? So there has to be some, and the mobilization of the people, because you and I might think something of let's say taxes, for example. Let's pick something neutral. Let's say taxes, and we're getting taxed too much, and we want to protest because we're sick and tired of paying all these taxes, right? It probably takes a fair bit for the general person to get up, go to the city, write a placard, stand in the cold, do a couple of chants, and then walk home, right? Now you've got kind of younger people that maybe they're a bit more into it, right? Maybe they've got a bit of expertise. But en masse, so quickly, it just doesn't kind of fall in line with people, because even the ones that I know that are hard left, right, and are really they're really militant on gender and Palestine and everything like that. There's still for them to physically march is a long, well, a big thing to do. And a lot of people are, that was an interesting chat with my mate last night. Is that a lot of people around the world, they're too busy trying to just make ends meet. And if they've got a family, just look after their kids. They don't have kind of time for marching and everything like that. Because I said, well, you got a 6-year-old son. How do you think it's going to be in 20 years? And he said, probably much the same, because people are just too busy trying to survive. But then you've got, so they're, in a way, those type of people, all right, not that we can condone it. I kind of understand you want to maybe send them a message to say, look, you can't keep disrupting the society. You can't break down this society while it's functioning. But then you've got probably naive kids, naive kids that, at 18 or 19 years old make this decision because they've only seen it on TikTok and Facebook, and they haven't questioned what's going on, and they haven't researched, and they don't even know about October 7th, and they don't even know about what happened at the festival and everything like that. And then they take gospel that Hamas health ministry figures, even though Hamas Health Ministry revised their figures down by 10,000 and don't report combatants, and were the ones that were responsible for the attack in the first place of absolutely horrific crimes, but somehow that's the most trustworthy source for civilian death, right? And they kind of get into a thing where they probably think they're doing the right thing because, I mean, look, women and children are dying on both sides, and it's horrible. Both sides have a right to protest. There's horrible crimes happening on both sides. And I think I kind of, in a way, feel sorry for them, because it's like you go to a protest and then what, you can't get a job for the rest of your life? When I start to lose empathy, the ones that are doing the encampments and the ones that are, they're really going for it, they're no longer there just because they've seen something on TV and they feel it's their moral virtues to get up and march and whatever. They're really committed to the cause, and they're really turning a blind eye to horrific crimes, and they're not looking at both sides of the information. They're not actually looking at both sides of the information and saying, look, I've saw what happened October 7th, and there was a dad whose wife got shot in the head in front of him, his child bled out in front of him, died, his daughter got kneecapped, and he got shot in the arm or whatever. And he
Jeez.
witnessed that. Or, I went to the festival and women were gang raped, and then it was uploaded onto their Instagram. Their mums were called, or the bloke that they've got footage of that was calling his mum and dad, saying, I've killed 10 Jews and everything like that. And they've looked at all of that and they're still like, nah, I still believe in that cause. So then it's kind of like war, right? Well, you've chosen to side and you live and die by the sword. So if you don't get a job, then so be it. Maybe you will get a job because people side with you. But I think
Yeah.
it's changed. I think it's now, this is where I'm leading into. I think now it's become bigger than the protests. I think now it's, and what fascinated me most was it started off as this kind of anti-Zionism, right? And then it started to become a bit like anti-America and anti-system and like anti-capitalism and then anti-everything else. And the part of you is like, oh, hang on a tick. This seems to be a common theme coming through. It's no longer really about the women and children in Gaza anymore, is it? And stuff like taking down the American flag, and putting up the Palestinian flag, it's like, whoa, I mean, how many millions of people have died for American freedom, Like, and I think that's also where they lost the mainstream. Because the mainstream was, there's still a large part of America, and we don't say it in Australia, but there's still a large part of Australia where we're patriotic. We are patriotic, and I think that they're actually now losing it because it started off with you'd be like, oh, the uni students, they're protesting, it's okay, I understand both sides and whatever, but now you're like, hey, look, this is now you're just being anarchists essentially. And sorry to talk your ear off, mate, but I'll leave it on one final point. I think what scares me the most is that this is exactly what like in the Polish community, it's what our grandparents always warned us about. And I don't know if I said it before, but when I was working at Victoria Market as a kid, I worked next to and with Holocaust survivors, so they had all the. They had all the numbers and stuff on their arm. And as a child, you were like, you just thought they had a tattoo. And they were pretty kind of open about everything and their life. And because they didn't want history to repeat itself, and then I come from resistance fighters on my mum's side as well, which were heavily involved in the freeing of trying to free, at least, Warszawa during the World War II. And they paid the cost, like they really paid the cost for it, like my 12, 13-year-old great uncle was trying to move food around and get sent to the gas chambers for part of the resistance. My other great uncle fought and survived. My other great uncle was actually he was taking all the like not only a Jewish but also a Catholic and everyone else through the forest to freedom, and he died in the forest. And it was actually one bloke. One bloke actually went back to my grandma and said to him, like, his final words were XYZ, and even if I might die, like, he loved you and whatever. And so even though they were Catholics and everything like that, they used to always say, well, be warned. Be warned, because as soon as they stop putting the Jews into the university, and as soon as they stop letting them walk on the street, and as soon as they target the business and everything like that, it's the Polish Catholics and it's the Slavs, the Orthodox Russians and the Slavs and Ukrainians and everything that's next. That's next. So that's what's kind of the alarm bell kind of triggering off for me, because it's like, well, this is happening in real time. Is it bad? It's not as bad as it was, but it seems to be kind of heading in that direction again. And it's that kind of undercurrent. And then also it's no longer the white fascists that you have to worry about walking around with sort of Nazi swastikas. It's this radicalized Wahhabism and this radicalized kind of like Marxist left. But it's not like a traditional Marxist left anymore. It's just this weird anarchists. And that's why I think that the people really need to sort of stand up and say, no, this is not acceptable, because if we don't stop it now with these people, like it's not going to end well. Now I keep yelling it from the rooftop and trying to use a podcast and everything like that, but no one's listening. Anyway, buddy, that's my rant, buddy. So I hand it over to you.
Yeah, well, how do you want to stop it?
That's
How
a
can you stop it?
good question. That's a good question because you can't obviously have an armed resistance to stop it. So then, and then the problem is that the policing isn't locking these people up, and the society isn't vetting these people coming in, Like, how many times have the people, the leaders of the Middle East, saying that in even like the what was it, the Bahrain foreign minister years ago was like, you're gonna have a problem in Europe. Like, you're just trying to say that you're liberal values, and but we're telling you that they're gonna cause you trouble, And it's like there's no implications. San Francisco, you can steal less than $1,000 and you don't get charged. And so when the rule of law disappears and when people aren't vocally standing up in the street to these people, they're just kind of letting it go. The mainstream media is letting it go. That's where it's going to be an absolute tinderbox. And it's like, well, what do you want? Like, is maybe the aim is to have an open conflict. Maybe that is the aim, because the problem is that, as an economist, you look at what they're doing, mate. Like, the taxes that they're passing, they're increasing the fuel tax, they're increasing the booze tax, they're stuffing up like the main pristine environmental areas and breeding areas for whales and birds and World Heritage forests and everything like that. But it's always like, oh, but what about the people in Gaza, or what about the indigenous people? And nothing's happening to them. Our
Yeah.
government even gave money for Gaza to the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO, in the West Bank, and Hamas was killing the PLO. They were literally throwing them off buildings when they took charge and killing them. And then you're giving millions of dollars to the PLO saying that's the money for Gaza. Our foreign minister, like, it's, I don't know, mate. That's a good question. How do you stop it? And I don't think you can. I think it's gone too far. It's got to run its course now.
Yeah, I agree, actually. Because the people who would stop it are too busy, like you said, trying to survive. Honestly, the only way it'll stop is the politicians have to think that they will be held accountable.
But they're
Because
not.
of course not. Nobody's held accountable anywhere, ever. Doesn't matter what side you're on, because they're all on the same side at the end of the day. There might be, like, I always say it's probably 10% of them who are decent human beings, and the rest are just all scum because they're all purposely vetted, picked, handpicked, and chosen for those roles. They get their donor money on the left and the right, doesn't matter. Whoever wins ends up being it's all a show, man. They all have incentive for there to be conflict because it helps them get reelected. But that's in the very short term politician thinking. But if you are had something where, if you come into office and you put us this much in debt, then everybody who is in office gets some kind of punishment. See how quick everything changes. Or if crime goes up under your watch, just see how quick. See, right now there's no accountability. The only thing they get is money. They go in, they get loaded with cash. The everyday people get fucked, and the only people who win are, like, say, the movers and shakers, right? The big funders and the corporations and politicians. And right
It's just
now.
not that. It's just not that. It's like that. It's the, just there's no justice anymore. Like, they have the
Well, yeah.
Palestinian protesters on the gates of on the steps, on the literal steps of Victoria Parliament. And look, I don't agree with them completely, but there was a guy, Rebel News. It's a very divisive figure
Yeah.
in journalism, mainly because he was kind of anti vaccine and everything like that. But it was just a straight interview, and the bloke, like, is out on allegations of kidnap and torture on bail, sitting on the steps. The bloke walks up and says, I want to do an interview. Instead of saying, no, I don't want to do an interview, him and his buddies start to threaten to kill him. And then the guy literally says, well, what is it going to take me to kill someone here? And then he says, just because I'm on bail doesn't mean that I can't get you, and starts threatening that he's going to take him and his family out. And it's like, but hang on, Dick, this is happening right in front of the police. And then they're standing, and then they're just standing around, and then they tell him, no, you should move away. And it's like, well, well, what are we paying you for?
I
Like, we're
mean,
paying you to protect the community. I mean, I'm just reading the newspaper now as we're chatting. There's been another alleged, radicalized teenager stabbing in West Australia now as well. It's like,
oh, geez,
well,
really? Yeah, I really honestly think that they wanted this to happen. Just a feeling. They don't want the population to be smart. It's not easy to tell smart people what to do or informed people what to do. It's better to keep them stupid, keep them fighting each other, keep them entertained with sports, and then you do whatever you want. And then they come up with some I really I don't I the end goal to me is still pretty murky, because I feel that what the World Economic Forum says is too public. Unless they're really just rubbing it in the face of people who actually pay attention. And they're saying, look, we've told you from day one, this is what we're going to do. And everything that's been happening is towards this end, and nobody stopped us. So, haha, which is okay. Fair play, I guess. Good on them. They win. But it's, again, I think we discussed this before. All of these problems are easily solved. Like, you want to crack down on crime? Crack down on crime. Like, it's not hard. Like, they have the face of this guy who was out on bail who just did a verbal threat, I would assume, right?
yeah.
Arrest him, put it on the news, what he did, say we're not going to tolerate this kind of behavior. And the next thing I think is these prisons and shit, this all has to change. I'm so tired of all this, nice. I mean, a prison is a prison, but it should not be comfortable at all, ever, zero. Like, personally, I think it should just be hard labor. It should be hard labor to the benefit of the citizenry. That's it. It should not be a tax burden on the citizenry. It should be, here's a fucking pickaxe, go inside this decommissioned coal mine and get cracking.
Working on the chain
Yeah,
gang.
that's what it should be. But now it's like, oh, it's cruel and unusual, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it's not, man. This is what will keep people from doing stuff. At least the, say, people from committing maybe more minor crimes and just throwing threats willy-nilly. Do you see that there's that one girl in, I can't remember what state it was. Oh, no, it was in California, but Northern California, which is a, Northern California tends to be pretty conservative. And she went to some town council meeting, and she was upset because their town council did not decry or, denounce Israel, which is like, who the fuck cares about what some town in California says? Nobody even cares
We have it
about
in
what.
Melbourne.
Yeah.
We have it in
So,
Melbourne. The same thing. Like the local council where I used to live, they're like having all these statements in Palestine. It's like, what the fuck?
yeah.
Who the fuck cares, bro? You pick the bins up, you dickhead.
So she went to this meeting and pretty much threatened them. I think she essentially said, she said, we're going to come to your house and murder you. And as she was walking away from the podium, one of the women turned her mic on, and she's like, oh, can you please get her? And she was like, oh, Miss, whatever the hell her name was. She's like, that's a threat. She's like, so, you're under arrest because that was a threat. And they arrested her, actually. And then they posted a picture of her the next day in court, and she was crying and, oh my God. Like, they talk a big talk because they think they can get away with this stuff because they've been getting away with it. Once you start cracking down on all these things, it's fine. Then the next thing is you have to, these colleges have to go. The colleges have to go, and state intervention in the media also has to go. All the, I, there, there's so many problems now which could be fixed, but it's just so many things compounding on each other that just it's just made to cause a problem. And the younger
I
generation,
think it comes back to the what we were saying before, though, and we've said it on previous podcasts. It's like the volume of problems is so big, but it's the majority of people now, they're just trying to survive. But financially, it's just at the bare minimum, they're trying to survive. They don't have time for this extra energy. And when it comes to the time that they have, it's really kind of sports at a community level that they have for their outlet, you know. They're not no longer demanding accountability. And
George
I think
Orwell.
that's, yeah.
That's what he said. Keep them dumb, keep them entertained, essentially. Everyone's in debt. They don't care what's happening. All they care about is the sports. That's the Western world in a nutshell. Like
Yeah, well,
they're
you do see. I was at the Australian Rules footy last night. Team the Mighty D's got up for a win. It was awesome. But yeah, I loved it. I loved it. I loved every minute of it and getting into it and whatever. But yeah, you kind of see how that's like, that's 50 something thousand people, and I'll put my hand up and say even for myself, you know, like that's kind of your outlook, is to go watch your team play and get involved and the euphoria of the win. And seriously, chatting to my buddy, because we were sort of both saying, like, now at latter 30s, it's like your life, if you're by me, living by yourself, even with him with the family, two kids, it kind of gets like super monotonous, you know? You just kind of go into this, like, you just go into this kind of hole, basically, you know? So it provides a welcome escape for the people, you know, to
People
kind of
should grow
go
up.
and let their aggressions out. Yeah.
No, there's better ways to do that. I mean, this whole sport thing has been tried and true method to control the masses. And the masses, as usual, fall for it and they're all hooked. It's not good. Professional
I agree all of
sports
the best.
are not good. I really think it should not exist at all. There's no
Oh, I think you
benefit
should have
other
community
than
sport.
that's fine. Local community's fine because you see the kids grow up and there's like that's different. That's competitive, kind of the local people get involved. You shouldn't have these pseudo celebrities who throw a ball well, getting paid millions. Like it's a joke. It shouldn't exist. The Olympics is fine. That's cool. You can do that. But it's the way that it's the level to which professional sports exist is bad. In my eyes, it's bad. And that's why that's another big reason they get away with things. You talk to people, their main concern is sports. And conveniently, there's always something going on all throughout the year. One season's done, a new season starts of a different sport, and
Listen,
you start
listen a
watching
minute to
that.
go, buddy. So,
Yeah.
it's been a lovely chat, and we'll take it up next time,
Roger,
broski.
Roger.
See you then. Bye.